we're back.
Happy pod number two.
That's right. We had a million listeners our first one.
The way this has taken off is just unbelievable. Who would have thought, you know, in 1 week we'd have over a million listens?
Who would have thought?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Because we haven't.
But one day we will. It's a goal.
One day we will, and 999,000 of them will not just be me. It'll be actual other people that have listened to it.
Yes. True. Okay, so let's talk about how you spent your Saturday.
So I sat in a chair all day Saturday watching an amazing end to the Six Nations Guinness games, and they did not disappoint, not a one of them.
They did.
What did you do on your Saturday?
I also sat on my couch and watched the three final games, and then we went and watched our local game.
We did.
So it was a day full of rugby.
Day full of rugby. Probably the fullest, I mean, I've ever done.
I know.
And every game was awesome and so fun. So
it was.
So let's talk about a little bit about Saturday. So break down for us what did Saturday mean?
Well, Saturday was the finals of the Six Nations tournament, the Guinness Six Nations tournament. And this is an annual thing with the Six Nations of Ireland, which you're repping tonight, France, England, Scotland, Italy, and Wales. And they played over the course of how many weeks?
I think it was like 6 or 11.
Yeah, something like that. It's probably a math question. That's easy.
We don't math on with the rug.
We do not. We only talk about rugby. But it's an annual tournament with those six national teams. And this Saturday was the finals. So they were awarded the championship trophy and the wooden spoon. Tell us about the wooden spoon.
I would love to tell you about the wooden spoon, but let me tell you about what the wooden spoon was as me growing up and with my own children.
Hey, I bet it was the same thing that I had.
So I always wanted to buy myself the shirt that said Wooden Spoon Survivor, because I grew up in a family where we had consequences for things when we chose not to do what we were supposed to. And the wooden spoon, a lot of time was that consequence. And I had it with my own kids. The wooden spoon was a great enforcer in our home. But so when I first heard like the Six Nations and they kept talking about this wooden spoon, it was intriguing to me because it wasn't quite what I had identified with it. But yeah, so wooden spoon and Six Nations is awarded to the team that comes in last. So there's a great Instagram account on Instagram called The Rugby Guy, and he has had the best clips about the wooden spoon and getting that thing tossed around, because throughout the whole tournament, it looked like Italy was going to be the one who got the wooden spoon, and they've gotten it since like 2015.
Yes.
This year that didn't happen. So they were excited not to get the wooden spoon.
The wooden spoon was awarded to Wales. Poor Wales.
The land of the castles.
The land of the castles. And let's talk about their team. They are young. They're rebuilding.
So that's what we hear. They're a young team. They are rebuilding. I would have to say watching that game, so Italy played in Wales. Their stadium's called Cardiff. You'll hear that a lot if you pay attention to Six Nations. You'll hear a lot about that stadium. But it was a bummer. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt, and again, I'm watching on TV, I don't know, but I mean, there it was not excited. I don't feel like they really got behind their team at any point during that whole game. And there were moments that it was close. So I don't know. I was a little disappointed with the Wales. I felt like they were, I don't know, too castle-like to celebrate their team and do the fun things.
Yeah, I've seen some Instagram reels where people have been interviewing the fans from Wales, and a lot of them are saying things. I mean, they're dressed like in red and white and all of that, but they're saying things like, we don't know who they're playing today, or we came for the food. And I mean, they're just there for a good time.
Well, I mean, those two are my kind of people.
Yeah.
But I don't know. So Italy shows up, and Italy also looks. They. I don't want to run into them on a dark alley.
No. I mean, I'll say it. I think Italy, they kind of look like the riffraff.
Yeah.
The Six Nations. Like, where did they all come from? Maybe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they
look scary.
They looked, yeah.
They look a little rough around the edges.
Yeah. But they got the job done. And that, like, and I mean, they look so fun. So before this last week, they played Scotland in Rome. And now that place was rocking.
Yes.
They looked like they were just so loud, so great.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fun to watch them beat Scotland.
Yeah, they beat Scotland. They tied with France.
Yeah.
And then they ended up beating Wales, of course. But I saw something today that was interesting. Whenever it was comparing their scores from the World Cup to the Six Nations tournament, and just how much they improved from the fall until now. So, I mean, they were there. They were fighting.
And even the World Cup. I know. A total underdog story. I mean, 2015, that's 8 years. That's a long time that they have just existed in last place. So these guys, I mean, I hope they're having so much fun and celebrating. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they've done something amazing. And like you said, they improved every week. They improved.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited for them. I'm ready to watch them do more as we do international still. So yeah.
Yeah.
Italy.
So Wales was last place. Italy was in fifth. Fourth place was Scotland. Yeah. And I'm going to just be honest and say I have not paid enough attention to Scotland.
Yeah. So there's a great show on Netflix right now called Six Nations.
That we will be in season two.
Season two, Anna and I star in it.
So we do.
We'll probably get to that at some point, but we could possibly be starring in season two.
That's a great story that we'll share.
We signed a waiver. So in the Six Nations show on Netflix, they interviewed their star player, which is Finn Russell, who makes me laugh because, you know, we talked about on our last podcast main characters and a certain rugby look that we have come to associate with rugby. And Finn Russell, he doesn't have that. He's not not a main character on the outside.
No.
But
he in Scotland.
Yes. But he's like legit. He's one of I believe he's a 10 or a 9, and he leads the team, and he does a great job, and he is pretty fun to watch because he has a good time out there. He'll laugh, he makes jokes, he can laugh at himself while he's out there. So he is really the only one. Oh, and Mr. Incredible.
Yes. Which we can talk about him too in a little bit, because he's one of the nominees for the player of the championship.
So he's the one I'm not even gonna try and say his name.
Duhon Vandermeer, I think, or something along the lines of that.
Or if you want to be an American, just call him Mr. Incredible, because that's who he looks
Yes,
like.
he looks exactly like him.
Yeah. So we don't know a whole lot about Scotland. I feel like they kind of flew under the radar until they beat Ireland. So yeah, I don't have a lot to say about Scotland either.
Well, here's what I will say. They played Ireland on Saturday, and going into the Six Nations, I mean, Ireland, we'll talk about them more, but they are just the team of the world, the best, best of the best. Their fans are great, but they went into place. So everybody kind of thought they were going to do what's it called? A grand slam when they win all the, they go undefeated. And they did not, because last week they, England beat them.
Sorry, I said that wrong.
Well,
England.
that's okay. Scotland though beat England before that. So it was a big deal. They're playing Scotland. And I will say, I mean, Scotland held them. They were fighting for that game. And I mean, I think they should be so proud. It was a nail biter.
And it's fun because you can go back and watch these games. And I would say if you're learning about rugby, you're just getting into that Scotland Ireland game was intense. And they were you watch rugby and there people are working hard, tackling, doing all of that. But sometimes you get into a game where you can just feel it. You can just feel that they're going to do whatever it takes. And that game had that feeling in it. And it would, I mean, people were blood. We got blood everywhere. It's a fantastic game. I would highly recommend it. And I think too, as we're learning, Ireland has a really great rugby culture. It's probably one of the oldest that's over there. And they do rugby right, and their crowd is on top of it. They've got lots of fun traditions, and just watching and hearing them, I mean, it's on our list to get there to watch a game. So that yeah, I would highly recommend y'all rewatching that game if you get a chance.
Yes,
Fantastic.
it's so good.
But
So good.
so moving from Scotland, we go to third place we have England.
England.
And let's be honest, we had been told everybody, nobody likes England.
He's always rooting against them.
And there's a really great commercial out there about England. I don't know where to find that, but if you find it, there's a great commercial out there about England and rugby. But we heard, nobody likes England. And again, right? We're over here in America. We don't really know the ins and out of why people think what they think. So we start watching a little bit of England rugby, and what happens to us, Anna?
I mean, you can't, it's really hard to hate them. It's hard to not like them. And on the Six Nations Netflix show, they focus a lot on my gosh, what's his name?
Ellis.
Ellis
Ginge.
Genge. Anyway, he is so such a great guy with a great story who actually champions everyone. Like, he's a fan of all the teams and all of the Six Nations. And anyway, I mean, I kind of feel like England is sort of rebuilding a little bit too. You know, they've made some changes and done some things. And so they're not the worst, but they're also kind of an underdog. Like, they're kind of unpredictable a little bit. So when they beat Ireland, I mean, we love Ireland, but everybody loves a good underdog victory too. I do.
You know, us especially. And yeah, like you said, I feel like when we have come into rugby, when we've come into it, England has not been performing that well. And we've heard a lot of negative about the club. And I think the culture, we've heard some things. Mm-hmm. The culture was not good. They've lost some players that were pretty important. And so, just from watching this Six Nations and learning a little bit about the players, I think they are rebuilding, and I do. They have great quality players. I mean, if you do some research into their guys, you'll find that these are top guys that are on that team. And so I think there's just a few things that got a little sideways, and once they get it figured out, I bet they're back where they were just a couple of years ago. So
yeah, for sure. Well, and you know, we are the team of our heart is France, because we feel like deep down maybe we are also French.
American.
I don't know. Maybe. The World Cup, because France is number two, they got second place. And at the World Cup, man, they were on. They fought. It was absolutely heartbreaking that they weren't in the finals. But then they come into the Six Nations, and who are they? What happened to them?
Yeah, so it was severely disappointing watching the first Six Nations game, which was France Ireland
in France. We were there.
We went there because in the World Cup 2023 predictions were it was going to be France and Italy fighting for the World Cup. France and Ireland fighting for the World Cup, and both Ireland and France get eliminated before anyone expects. And yeah. So coming into this first Six Nations game, everybody's like, this is the game that should have happened at the World Cup. And we are all excited about it. And we are all ready to watch these two. I don't know if Titan game is a little over-exaggerated, but these were the two big guys that are going to fight it out. And France did not show up.
They did not.
It was almost embarrassing. And I don't want to say that about our guys, but anyway. And so I have a lot of theories about them and their handling of getting kicked out of the World Cup, eliminated from the World Cup sooner than they anticipated. One of them, my biggest theory is they're just flat out, they're French, right? And in my, I don't have a ton of experience with French people. I do have a little bit. And they are an emotional, don't tell us what to do.
Yeah.
We're going to do what we want to do, the way we want to do it. And if you're doing it the way I don't want to do it, you're going to hear about it. They're just, they like their freedom, and they're just very emotional. And I think that's a lot of what happened to these guys. But on a serious note, I mean, there was pressure on them. The World Cup was dangerous. They had a great Six Nations in 2023. They did lose to Ireland, but they played a great coming in looking amazing. They did lose some players coming into the World Cup, important players. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think what, and if you listen to people, other podcasts, other people, they talk about how the guys were just it was an emotional issue for those guys. And I really think they held on to that. They were in like a depression and they couldn't get out of their funk. They just didn't look like the World Cup team.
No, they did not. And I would say too, I've read some things about how everybody feels about them being in second place. And, you know, they lost to Ireland. We were there. It was really sad.
Ireland did great.
Ireland came to play.
They did.
And then they lost to Scotland. Or no, they didn't lose to Scotland. They won, but it was because of a call that was very questionable right at the end. A try that Ireland had that got called back. And so they won that game. They tied against Italy.
Yep.
And then they beat Wales. Yeah. And I think after they beat Wales, because obviously that was a fair win.
Yes.
Yeah. I think finally, like you said, they were sad and heartbroken, and now they were ready, and then they ended up beating England. Yeah. So, I mean, they had a run that was that went up as they went, but man, they were not the French of the World Cup.
Nope, they were not the French. And even like physically wise, I don't think they looked as strong.
No.
A couple of them just looked like they just sat on their couch and ate their feelings.
Yes.
But I mean, but you know, I don't know how I would, I know they poured everything into that World Cup and being ready to play that game and getting physically ready to play that game. I just can't imagine. And then to it to happen. And another thing too, French fans aren't easy on their teams.
No.
So, I mean, that's a factor too. Like, you know, a lot of them felt like that shouldn't have happened. And please go watch France lose to South Africa. Lost.
That was still just the worst.
That was the worst.
The worst.
It was. But I totally agree. So they beat Wales, and we see in that Wales game some of the French team we saw from the World Cup and how they were playing.
Yeah.
And definitely we saw glimpses of that when they were playing England. And a few of our favorites like Damien and Ramos and Ficu, we see them start being who we saw leading up to the World Cup and in the World Cup. So that was exciting, but then too late. I'm like, oh man.
I know.
But things are going to turn around. Maybe they got their feelings back in the right spot. They understand that they're an excellent team.
Yes.
And just when they are on, when they are focused, they're just as, to me, as dangerous as either one is.
Yes.
In my opinion. So that brings us to the main green.
Yep. Ireland top.
Ireland top. So there's big talk right now. All right. So we've talked about, we keep talking about the Six Nations, which is just as Europe. And we also have Super Rugby, which is New Zealand, South Africa, all those places.
Fiji.
And Fiji, yes. So they've all got their own little league.
Yes.
So the big debate right now is Ireland and South Africa, who's better? So it's kind of fun to hear that talk right now, but from what we watched in the Six Nations, Ireland dominated, except for their, I'm going to take that back. They dominated the France game, but after that, yeah,
they had some issues too.
Did they beat everyone? Yes. Did they look like they were the team that beat France?
No, they did not.
No.
They absolutely did not. And I'm going to say, you know, we watched the World Cup. That was South Africa beating France. I mean, I'm not even French. I am in my heart. But I was heartbroken over that.
Yeah.
Standing in my living room, I was yelling at the TV. So I was so mad mm-hmm. that South Africa was going mm-hmm. to the final because mm-hmm. I was just angry about it. Mm-hmm. And they won that game and the final within like 1 point, I think. Yeah.
They didn't even score a try.
Exactly. So my money is on Ireland, number one in the world.
Yes. And okay, again, do we know as much about the players on the South African team as we do Six Nations? Not at this point. We just haven't had as much exposure to those guys yet. And honestly, I couldn't even tell you where I would watch.
Sia Khaleesi plays in France for a French team.
Right.
So we can
the actual South African team, are they even playing right now?
No. So I looked that up today and to see, you know, when our next big national games were. Mm-hmm. And there's a series in the summer.
Okay.
Where I feel like New Zealand, Australia, I want to say Argentina, but I might be wrong about that, have some kind of tournament that they play. And then New Zealand and South Africa, I think, are going to play a test match against each other. But most of those are the summer, so we have to wait.
All right.
So sad.
I know. It is so sad.
So
that's something to look forward to. Because mm-hmm. now that we're not a divided mind of watching Six Nations and our local Major League Rugby team, the Sabercats, mm-hmm. let's bring them up for a minute because they are what?
They are number one in the MRL, the Major League Rugby. Number one in their division, which is, I can't remember what it's called. Mm-hmm. But number one overall too.
Yep.
They are undefeated. We've had 3 weeks, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I mean, they are well above the other teams in the point system. So
super proud of those guys. They're working hard. We had a fun time at the game Saturday night. They had the whole 4 tickets for a family. You got 2 hot, you got 4 hot dogs and 4 Pepsis. So that was fun to see. Now they're out of town this next weekend. I think they might be out of town for a couple weekends.
April 13th, I think, is when they're coming back.
So we got a little bit of time to wait on that too. But again, you can watch Sabercats on the Rugby Rugby League Network channels. So check those guys out and see where they're at and what they're doing. But what fun things do we get to talk? I mean, we went through a lot of business there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what fun things do we get to pull out this week?
Well, let's talk about one more thing real quick, because I want to know what your thoughts are. Mm-hmm. We talked about this a little bit today, Kelly and I did, but for the Six Nations, they have a player. So every game that you watch, every match, even in here, Major League Rugby, they have a player of the match that I still don't know who chooses that. I've researched that and don't know the answer. But for the Six Nations, they have a player of the championship.
Yes.
And there are 4 nominees.
Okay.
And I mean, already I think there should be 6. I think there should be 1 from each team. I mean, I'm not an everybody wins kind of person, but I just feel like there's 6 teams. Why do we not nominate 1 person from every team?
Yeah, I hear that.
But here are the nominees, and I'm going to tell you who they are. You may already know. And then you tell me what you think. Okay?
Okay.
So first, we have Bundy Aki from Ireland. He's a center. We love Bundy.
We
almost met him.
Let's not talk about that right now.
We have been within like 6 feet of him. So, and we didn't meet him.
stop.
So Bundy, if you're listening, we're fans of you. Okay, then we have, I'm going to not say this correctly, Tommaso Menicello from Italy.
Okay.
Also a center, okay. 21 years old.
Okay. Wow. All right.
Okay, then we have Ben Earl from England. He's a flanker. Then we have Duhan Vandermeer from Scotland.
Mr. Incredible.
So what are your thoughts?
All right. My thought is Bunyaki all the way. Not only every time that I have seen him play, he is always consistent, dependable, knows his role, and knows it beautifully. As far as I know it.
Yes.
The expert that I am. But I think more than what I just see as his skill on the rugby field, which is what this, right, this what that is based on, is what they've done on the pitch for this. Mm-hmm. But he also, I believe, is an integral part of a healthy culture in on the Ireland team. And what he brings as a human being to the team elevates it, and allows other people to play their roles effectively, which benefits the whole team. So to me, he wins it on two fronts. One, he brings it well, and he brings it consistently. And he happens to just be an amazing teammate and an amazing leader. And I will vote for him all the way. And that's just from seeing the limited that I see.
Yeah.
So
that's, yeah, he would be my vote too. He is a great player and just all around, he loves it. He loves the sport. He loves the game. Like, I feel like he's so grateful to play it. And, you know, he is a, I mean, I don't know him personally, but he seems like a great encourager. Somebody who lifts everyone up. I mean, I think for sure he should win.
Okay.
And he's the only one in his 30s. So give it to him.
Give it to the not old guy, but not.
Yeah.
Yay. All right.
Honorable mention from France. I mean, this is Anna's honorable mention, not the Guinness. Thomas Ramos.
Yes.
I mean, he.
Yes.
He did so much for them.
Yes. He. I also think they had some France players who held them together.
Yes.
They one of them. Charles was one of them.
Yes.
Vicky was one of them. But yeah, definitely. He showed up this Six Nations too and shined above everybody too. Yeah. So if we were voting man of the match for the Guinness 2024 Six Nations, we would like to award it to Bundy. Proud of you.
So that's the Guinness
podcast, Bundy. Just
yeah, we would love to have you as a guest. That would be a dream.
I would be the worst.
No, because that was our second chance. We walked past him.
Okay, listen. We can't go there right now.
We can't. Okay, so that's the Guinness Award.
Yes.
But what's your award? Your main character of the tournament? Ooh. Can you choose one?
I don't know if I can choose one because we just got exposed to so many more teams and so many more players. And you said, what award is it?
The main character of the Six Nations.
Oh,
okay, no. Maybe you do this for all of our listeners. Okay, we have the main character award.
Okay.
Then we have best supporting
character. Okay.
And then maybe best newcomer to us. Like, okay. They may be new to rugby or the Six Nations, but they're new to us.
New to us. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. So main character award for me goes to Charles Olivon of the France team. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think Anna and I will share that, awarding that one.
Maybe. We will.
Mm-hmm. Best supporting character. Best
supporting. So this would be like your second.
Do you have one?
I mean, oh my goodness. I'm going to go with Robbie Henshaw. I said him last time, Ireland. He's kind of like Charles in a way. He's dependable in his position.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, he's main character quality all the way. And so that's mine.
Okay. I'm not sure if I'm 100% behind this one, but Slade.
Henry Slade.
Henry Slade from England.
I was going to make him my newcomer.
Your newcomer. Okay. So I'm not 100% sure, but I'm going to go with him right now just because I'm on the spot.
It's also his birthday today. So happy birthday.
Oh, there we go.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. That's great. Okay.
Okay. So newcomer to you.
Okay. Newcomer. I gotta look him up real quick. Hold on. I gotta find out his name. Do you have your newcomer?
I do. And he's going to be a different vibe. He's not a main character vibe. He's more like Owen Wilson or.
Okay.
Of Vince Vaughn. Like, they're not the main character ever, but you enjoy them, and that's Joe Marler from England.
Okay, yes.
Very funny. He doesn't look like he has no main character vibes.
Yes.
But he's funny. He is very much a team player, and I'm reading his book right now. So I'll report back on that when I finish.
I love it. That's a great one. And he does seem like, wouldn't you love to get a pint with him after a game? I mean, that just looks, hey, and side note to any of our listeners, put in the comments after you listen to this, if you know what a dirty pint is, a dirty pint. And if you've ever drank one, please describe it for us.
Okay, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, look it up. I have never drank a dirty pint, and I'm not sure that I want to. But if you've done it, please let us know.
Let us know.
Yeah, it's interesting. Okay, hold on. Sorry. So mine is going to be the guy from Italy who has left little skin without a tattoo.
Okay, Ione. That's the last name, I think.
I'm not finding it right now.
What's his first name? Monty.
Yes.
Monty Ione.
Okay, again, so right, maybe not main character vibes, but he's going to bring a little bit of something intriguing to the ball, to the game. So yes. It could be a night. It could be a good time. But yes. Don't make him mad is kind of the feeling I get with him.
No, and he was a standout for sure. He did
great.
He did really great. So that's a good one. Good job.
So that'd be my newcomer. That was a fun game. Good one, Anna. I love it.
That was a fun game. Okay. What else we have today? Any more questions?
I don't think. I'm sad Six Nations is over. I feel like I didn't appreciate it like I should have. Going through that. So we gotta wait all the way until January of next year to go through all of this again. So it'll be exciting. And we'll have so many more listeners then, and they'll know so much more about rugby at that point that they can enjoy and have fun too.
That's right.
So real quick though, what is one What would be one technical aspect of rugby, a rule, a play, a strategy? What is something that you kind of pulled out that you saw in the Six Nations that helped you better understand what's happening on the rugby pitch?
I think that here's what I do, and I do this in life and not just for rugby. If I had to live in an age where I couldn't Google things whenever I want to know the answer, I don't think I would know a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But that's what I do. When the commentators are talking, I just look up what they're saying. So, for example, we've watched a lot of rugby. And maybe one episode we'll devote to, like, the officials, talking about the officials, because that's a whole other world and fun to pay attention to. But the officials often say, use it,
please.
And I kind of just thought that was like a term, mm-hmm. you know, that they're just saying to get the game moving, but it's actually like a rule. When the players are in a ruck, which is what our podcast is named after, when the ball is on the ground, and when a ruck is won, clearly won by one side, then the official will say, use it, please. Usually they say please. They're very polite. And that means they have to play the ball within 5 seconds. So that was mind-blowing to me, and now I can totally see it happening.
Yeah. And we didn't learn that till this last weekend.
Yeah.
Score one for us.
So we're experts.
Down, rugby. You're not going to outsmart us.
Yeah. Also, I think just having watched and learning the difference between a scrum and a maul and all of those things, the words that you hear the most, that can sort of look the same sometimes if you're new at watching it. I think you learn those big things, a scrum, a maul, a ruck, a line out, mm-hmm. a knock on.
Mm-hmm. And I want to say too, so when Anna and I went to go watch the Ireland-France game, we're sitting in the stadium and the game's playing. And I'm like, why can't we hear the ref talking?
Can't hear the ref.
Where's the commentator? Because on the TV. You
actually hear it live.
Yeah, on the TV, you hear everything that the referee is saying, and it helps you, like, know what's happening. And none of that, they don't do that at the games.
They don't.
And it was so hard to know what was happening when we just had to watch the game and everyone's speaking French, or most of them are speaking French. And you're like, I don't know, but
yes,
we had some help on the other side of Anna to work us through it. But I that made me laugh. We were sitting at the game and I'm like,
yeah, why don't we hear him talking? Yeah.
Is the microphone working?
Yeah.
We got to figure this out on our own.
Yes. Yes.
I was texting my husband in America, like, why? What's happening? Why are they?
What did he just say?
What's going on? I don't know.
Anyway, yeah.
How far we've come.
I know. So we have. We have.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got another podcast in the books. You guys, we would love to hear what your rugby questions are. We'd love to help you figure out how to watch rugby or anything like that. So please drop us a note. Again, you can catch us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. So check us out at those places. And we can link those when we get this thing put up. But any last words for us?
Well, I'm hoping that we'll have some exciting guests soon. We've had some we've met some awesome people in this little rugby community locally, and so I hope some of them will be hearing from some of them soon. I hope.
Yep. Anna makes great connections. So her.
All right. Well, thanks so much for listening.
Yeah, thank y'all so much for listening. Have a great week. And we will talk at y'all next time.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Hey, What the Ruck listeners, thanks so much for joining us today. Check us out on our website at ruckthewhat.com. You can also follow us on our Instagram at the Rugby Mullet and our Facebook page at What the Ruck. See you next time.